Vajrasadaka, remember, is a literary document, probably appeared in the 4th century, interestingly enough, some people, whatever it is as a literary document, believe that from sort of internal evidence of sutra, it reflects very, very ancient material, reflects the oral tradition quite strongly rather than the textual traditions. Very interesting, that, but it's another point. But so anyway, it's an old text, let's say that. So when Subhuti expresses his concern regarding the future, actually what's really going on, to be text critical, he's expressing the concern of the present, of the people who compiled that sutra, of the people of that time. Basically he's saying, can we understand the profound Dharma now, in these difficult times, in these times where things are really not so good? Can we understand the Diamond Sutra? Sometimes we can think like this. We can do this thing. Can serious practice be done now? Is spiritual attainment possible for us moderns? You know, because in the old days, you know, in the Buddha's time, they became arahants like that. You know, they were, you know, the Buddha would talk to them, or, you know, even if the Buddha wasn't around, you know, some great monk was around and they'd snap their fingers and gain enlightenment. You know, we've read all the Tibetan stuff, the Zen stuff, the Indian stuff, and, you know, there's enlightenment all over the place. And we often wring our hands, you know, at our circumstances, at the rampant materialism, the endless distractions and the earthbound nature of modern life, and this terrible, inexorable decline that seems to be going on, that sort of pours out of the radio and the television, and, you know, all the appalling environmental problems, you know, the pollution and, you know, the proliferation of nuclear energy, etc., 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 and there's just doom, hopelessness, even getting a bit apocalyptic about it all. This can, in fact, be thoroughly negative and unhelpful, and in fact, it's untrue. It's true that the world has many problems. Problems be created by the greed of human beings, the aversion of human beings, and so on. And with the development of technology, there are very, very serious threats, probably like never before, you know, in sense of the scale of the threats involved. And yes, there are many obstructions to practice and many distractions in relation to practice, you know, compared with the sort of simplicity of ancient times. But it's also got to be said that the world at the moment, certainly in the modern West, let's say, in some ways has never been better. Let's get real about this. We have unparalleled wealth. We live like princes. I mean, we really do. You know, if you compared it with previous times, you know, not that long ago, the freedoms we have, the access to education we have, the access to travel that we have, the health care that we have, the security that we have is unparalleled. It's extraordinary. I was talking to somebody the other day who was telling me about a study that somebody had done of Elizabethan London. And they've kind of looked at documents and records. And the number of murders within London was considerably more than there is today. You know, it was a rough, violent, dangerous place. Our life expectancy is much longer than it's ever been before. Certainly, you know, in the West, we have, you know, more people have more options than ever before. You know, not so very long ago, you know, the kind of class that I was born into, working class, I mean, I wouldn't be here doing this. I'd just be a worker. You know, my father was a plumber. You know, in days gone by, the kind of family he came from, I would not have had access to the circumstances that I have now. So I think we really do need to get real about our conditions. They really are incredible. Okay, it's not true for the whole world by any manner of means, and there's great poverty. I'm not talking about the whole world, I'm talking about us. So when it comes to the Dharma, we have to take care as well not to form too rosy a picture of the past. in the time of the Buddha, there were some pretty dreadful people in the Sangha. Let's again be very, very clear. There were some really dreadful monks who behaved very badly. Some of them changed, some of them didn't. And things weren't all nice. It was warfare, terrible kind of violence, in the time of the Buddha. You've only got to read the suttas to see that. Or if you really seriously read Buddhist history, not just Buddhist hagiography, it's not all rosy. It's a very mixed picture. I mean, sometimes people talk about how wonderful the old Tibet was. You know, it was absolutely perfect for spiritual practice. Not true. Not true. Yes, very devout people, but it wasn't a perfect country. It's incredible civil unrest at times and power struggles between different communities, different factions, and terrible grinding poverty if you were a peasant. Grinding poverty. Okay, you might have been able to, you know, receive teachings and all that sort of thing, but for a lot of people, grinding poverty and even discrimination. So I think we need to be very, very clear about these things, that our circumstances are very, very good indeed. The past has been mixed. There's been some wonderful things. There's also been a lot of rubbish as well. So, and it's the same now. There's some very bad things going on, but there's some very, very good things going on. And we need to kind of wake up to that, wise up to that. It's un-Buddhistic, actually, to think that our time and place is uniquely flawed. It's an extension of our thinking that we're uniquely flawed. It's another form of that kind of conceit, and it's a convenient avoidance. I can't do anything worthwhile now because conditions are so bad compared with the old days, so I won't bother. That's basically what it comes down to. It's another excuse to kind of wring our hands about our times, another excuse not to actually engage with the Dharma.